Hey y'all, just wanted to pop in and give a quick heads up before this week's episode. For those of you that are unaware, we have a merch store at ttrpgroulette.threadless.com. On that site, we have a brand new Pride collection thanks to Lee of Law of Names Games. From now until the end of June 2021, all sales from the designs in this collection will go directly to the Black Trans Travel Fund, a black trans-led collective providing black trans women with financial and material resources needed to remove barriers to accessing safer transportation. This is obviously a very important cause, and we wanted to do our part this Pride Month to put our money where our mouth is in uplifting the voices of some of the people that need it most. So please go check out our Pride collection at ttrpgroulette.threadless.com and click on the Pride 2021 collection. You can find designs with our logo on a background of various LGBTQ+ Pride flags, ranging from gay, lesbian, and bisexual to transgender, polyamorous, bigender, non-binary, and so many others. These designs come on a wide range of apparel, as well as blankets, mugs, stickers, and notebooks. Again, all proceeds from the sales of these designs until the end of June will combine with our Patreon money for the month of June to benefit the Black Trans Travel Fund. So please consider either picking up a piece of merch, joining our Patreon at patreon.com/ttrpgroulette, or donating to the Black Trans Travel Fund itself directly through the link in our show notes.
Hey, listeners, this is Reed. I'm here to let you know that today's episode of We Die Here has the content warning tags of car accidents, character death, usage of soft drugs, and body horror. Happy listening!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, everyone in between or irrespective of that binary, pull up a chair and put down your chips. It's time for Tabletop Roulette. Today's game is... Hi, you can call me Andy because that's my name. I use he, him pronouns, and today I will be playing Raphu Rat Fuke, the lead singer and electric harmonica player of the town's leading indie trashcore band, Pus Fungus.
My name is Hannah. I use she, her pronouns, and tonight I will be playing Marla, a shade tree mechanic and the owner of a local junkyard.
Hi, I'm Kyle, he, him pronouns, and I am playing Duncan Oliver, the radio broadcast reporter in the town of Splinters.
Hi, my name is Tio. I use she, her pronouns, and I am playing Gilda Banyarditch. She's a 60-ish woman who is, we'll just say successful as a Radio Shack customer service rep and a former phone sex operator. She kind of also serves as the resident IT specialist, whether she is qualified or not.
Hey there, I'm Quinn. My pronouns are he, him, and I will be playing Percy Potlatch, the owner of the local general store, the volunteer president of the Chamber of Commerce in Splinters, and I think we decided also the deputy mayor, maybe? Yeah, also the proud deputy mayor of Splinters.
Hi, I'm Reed, and I use they, them pronouns. You can find me at Replays on Twitter, and I'm your GM for today, so I'm playing everybody. So basically, long story short, you all have your super secret secrets living in Washington, in Splinters, Washington. What was sort of the first things that happened? There's like some weird, kind of subtly weird things that happened before the town hall meeting. And Percy gathered everyone to talk about the best small town in Washington committee that's supposed to be coming into town pretty soon. Chaos ensued once Percy stepped outside and saw graffiti covering the town that all seemed to be pointing back to Geo and the Stones, because Geo's been trying to get people to go to their concert up at the radio tower. And is saying it's the last one and that Geo is leaving. And Duncan heard Geo's voice over the radio asking for help when he was sort of messing around with his radio in his booth.
And someone, and another voice, which may have also been Geo at the beginning.
Yes.
Calling out for help.
Yes, also that. So, because you heard them over at the radio tower as well. And the cat was acting weird. The mayor cat mayor.
Buster.
It sounds like cat dog.
Yes.
He's half cat, half mayor. Mayor cat is weird, acting strangely, unfriendly. I think he actually scratched Gilda at one point. Marla's working on the junkyard and finds that things are sort of not the way that she remembered them. Like the model of car that she was working on seemed to jump backwards in time and then forwards again. And I think that all of you realized that that you couldn't find Geo and that everything, all the graffiti keeps having sort of similar motifs of this phrase, "We're in the cave." Also, the voice calling for help was saying, "We're in the cave." And so you were speaking with Skid, and Skid said, "Oh, there is a cave up on Splintered Peak." And I think all of you were going to go pick up Marla from the junkyard before you went up to the peak to look for Geo and potentially any other people with them. And so I think we are in the Possum Mobile right now. I think the only thing is, well, actually Gilda was with Duncan in the radio booth. So I think all of you are together except for Marla now and are heading to the junkyard. So that is, I think that's like at least super duper rough off the top of the dome recap for all of you. Hopefully that helps.
I feel like that's the highlights.
I had said so Marla had said that she was going to go up to the concert. Geo showed up with the flyer. So I don't know if you want Marla to just be on her way, meet everybody there. I don't know how many people we can fit in the Possum Mobile.
I just imagine that the Possum Mobile is like an actual clown car and that you can fit an infinite amount of clowns into the Possum-mobile.
Oh, I was just going to say there's 100% canonically no seatbelts. So it really just depends on how many people can fit on each other's laps.
We're used to it, though. That's a town feature. No seatbelts. I think the issue was the concert was tomorrow, but we were all rushing out now because we picked up the transmission and felt like,
that's so sweet of you to think of me, but don't worry, I've planned for
well because we're going to the cave, we're not going to the concert,
right? Just in terms of Marla already being on her way or not.
That's a good point Yeah, so I think
we were saying we gotta round up a task force and go find some lost kids in a cave. Search and rescue.
We were gonna go get Marla.
We were activating search and rescue protocols.
Okay, so I think we understand where we are. I think we open to the Possum van, and I presume Rat is driving, and Percy is sitting nervously in the passenger side seat.
Oh, yeah. Percy's riding shotgun, trying to touch as little of the surface as possible.
Oh, yes.
Per usual.
And Gilda and Duncan are in the back, and Skid is there also. I think Skid is it doesn't smell great back there. he's like kind of squeezed in between the two of you.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And
hat on or off?
bucket hat in his lap.
Yeah, I think his bucket hat is in his lap.
Then Gilda's fine.
Ooh, those locks.
His luscious blonde locks tickle your nose a little bit.
The smell's overpowering, but it's mostly because of the fine shampoo.
And I guess the only question that I have for you, Rat, as you're driving, do you have the radio on?
Yes. Well, radio is a strong word. The Possummobile, as it has come to be called, has a cassette player instead of a CD player. But this one has a cassette player through which Rat has started playing the seminal Pus Fungus album, It's Rat Sounds. Spelled like the animal, not like the lead singer.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
You wanted to call it Pet Sounds, but not for pets. Wild match.
Amazing. So, actually, as you're driving, and you're listening to the amazing album Rat Sounds, the cassette player starts to kind of short out, like, and then it just goes silent completely.
Oh, that's not part of the song. That's we don't have the static and 15-minute silent interlude until track number 4.
How can you possibly tell which song is playing?
Matthew, I think your cassette tape player is malfunctioning.
Rat is going to take hold of the steering wheel with his knees and his palm against the cassette player.
Jiminy Christmas.
you try and jimmy this thing into working again, and you hear and like studio laughter, and then you hear what appears to be some person doing stand-up comedy, and person says, "So, you know, my ex told me this joke once, so you know, I'm just gonna run it by you folks. See what you think. Plato and a platypus walk into a bar. The bartender gives the philosopher a quizzical look. Plato says, what can I say? It was dark in the cave. And you hear roaring laughter.
Oh my God.
And then you hear more. And then Rat Sounds begins to play again. Track 2.
I say, strange interlude, Rathew.
Yeah, I don't remember putting that in there. Shrooms maybe snuck it in, but that sounded weird.
Rat, eyes on the road.
I mean, I appreciate the notes you took from when you sent me this demo last time, but I'm not sure it's radio ready yet.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't really start getting good until track 17.
Hey, y'all. Again. Do not know how you know possibly which song you're on, but that's a story for another time. Pretty sure the cave thing, I'm gonna assume that might be related to all of our other cave business tonight. Which leads me to ask, Rat, do you have even one flashlight in this here vehicle?
Yeah, I've got one. Oh, wait, you said flashlight? No.
Oh, God.
Percy maybe has a little preparedness kit in a bag with him or something.
Sorry, I think we're meeting up with the larger search committee, and there should be a whole passel of flashlights stockpiled there, and so we'll all be should be all situated.
Okay, I'm just gonna go ahead and say that it was really freaking weird that they're talking about a cave, and you know, Rat, I do trust that you care about your music enough to know if something isn't right in there. So you know, maybe just be on high alert. I feel like there's something going on here, and I don't have the language for it.
Do you think there's a platypus in the cave?
There might be a philosophizer. Plato might be there.
I really need Marla to be part of this conversation.
And as you're driving, Rat, you see headlights on the other side of the road, going the opposite direction from you. But then they're gone. And as you pass, you could have sworn that you saw a horse-drawn buggy. But then you look and you see tail lights.
As Red is driving, he turns his head completely over his shoulder to look behind the car.
Oh God!
Well,
did anyone else see that?
I'll be a friendly neighbor. What was that?
Duncan has like 3 points, 4 points of contact on the side, ceiling, and floor of this van.
I'm gonna like lean out the window and look behind and see if I can see this horse-drawn carriage.
You look and you also see what seems to be just the barest glint of like horseshoes in the dark. You hear the clip clop of hooves on the asphalt, but then you look and you also see taillights. As soon as you blink, it seems that this image of the horse-drawn buggy is gone.
Cheese and crackers, what's going on?
Was that a...
I think we're all just a little, we're a little shook up. We better, you know, I think we got to focus on the cave, got to focus on finding the person who needs help, and maybe also the same person who defaced our lovely town. We got to find Gio.
Stresses are high. Maybe that was just a trick of the light or something as we're going very fast.
Do any of you all watch horror movies? Because I do, and I feel like we're falling into a very common trope.
Nopely dopely.
Yep, that sounds about right. Gilda pulls out a big old, and you can tell me if you need me to edit this out, but Gilda pulls out a big old roach and just lights up like, okay, things are gonna get weird tonight.
Gilda, I've told you, I don't really like those weird smelling cigarettes that you have. Can you please not smoke that in the car?
Can you pass that down
European.
This way?
European. I do. I pass it off.
Like Skid intercepts it a little bit. It
smells exactly like the ones that those kids had out by the mill. How did those kids get their hands on some European cigarettes? Well, I'll be.
They're very cultured.
Yeah, Skid blows you a smoky kiss. hands it off to Duncan.
Percy like rolls down the window and
kids like smells like college in here. Smells awesome, like my freshman year dorm room. Am I right?
Studying abroad, right?
He looks very nervous. Sure, yeah, that's what I did. And I think we're going to cut from this hotboxing of the possum van to Marla. And Marla, the sun is going down. I think that you're probably heading into your dwelling for the evening. Would that be correct to say?
Yeah, it's my dwelling is attached to the garage because if there's one thing Marla likes, it's a short commute.
Yeah. And so I think that you start to like, you know, let yourself into your house and you walk in and there's nothing in there. None of your stuff is there. It's completely empty, bare walls. In fact, it looks abandoned. There's dust and dirt, broken glass.
Okay. I walk back out, I shut the door and I go back in again. Do a hard reset.
So now when you go inside, you see that it looks like not a modern house. And there's actually a woman dressed in, big, thick skirts and a bonnet. And she's actually doing what appears to be churning butter in what used to be your living room.
Ma'am, you can't churn butter here.
She looks and
that's where you sleep.
Oh, there you are. Oh, could you check on the fire? I've
No. No.
The stew's going to cook over. If you don't check on the stew, it's going to be burned before father comes back.
Ma'am, you're gonna have to move the churn outside. This is a strictly outdoor activity.
Strictly forbidden.
Ma'am, that's where I sleep.
No, you sleep over there. And she points to a cot in the corner. It looks like this room is not the house that you've been living in, but it's like a one-room cabin almost is what it looks like. And the person that you are speaking to looks kind of familiar, actually.
I look down. Am I still wearing, like, my jumpsuit, or am I also wearing, like, Little House on the Prairie getup?
No, you're wearing your jumpsuit.
Okay, good.
But this person that's in front of you looks kind of like Joey, actually. Like a younger version of Joey.
Huh. Well, is Joey into, like, historical reenactment? 'Cause,
not that you know of.
Okay, so... So I see the Joey lookalike. Ma'am, what's your name?
What are you talking about, Martha? My name is Josephina.
Okay. All right. And when did you... It's not Martha. It's not Martha.
You're Martha. My sister Martha. What? Are you all right? You don't have a fever, don't you?
I'm just gonna go out and check on the cow. Yeah, I'm gonna go make sure the cow is still there.
Oh, you know.
All right, Josephina, I'm gonna go check on the cow. Let's make sure the cow's okay. Bye. And I walk out of the house.
You walk out of the house.
Is there a cow outside?
No, the house looks exactly as you remember it from the outside.
Third time's the charm.
I peer in the window.
The window. Upon just, like, looking in, it looks like all your stuff is there. It looks as you remember it. A normal 1990s-era house.
Okay, I open the door and I go in.
You go in and it's normal. This is your house. This is where you live. Oh, thank God. But there is someone waiting for you inside.
Oh, no. Is it the cow?
No, it's not the cow, actually. You actually see a person there. And, this person actually looks even more familiar, and this is a person from your past.
Go on.
So you see a shadow of a human that is sitting on your couch when you walk in. They get up, and you see that as they walk towards you, their skin is peeling and rotting off. And it looks like they're covered in dirt. You can see blood, dried old blood on their clothes. And they point at you and they say, "You killed me. Why did you kill me?" And they start to stumble towards you.
I grab the baseball bat that I keep near the door, and I take a swing at them.
Yeah, I think that I'll probably have you roll for that.
A roll! We're gonna roll a dice.
A roll!
Okay. So, would you say that this is something that you're skilled at as a sketchy individual that works on cars?
Like feats of physical strength? Yes.
Like this isn't the first person who's broken in and you hit with a baseball bat?
Yeah. And so I'll say that probably we'll start with a base dice pool of 2d6. And this is directly related to one of your needs/wants/secrets, if I do recall.
Yes.
So we'll give you an extra d6. However, I think we're going to negate that with the town, because the town is also in conflict with you at this moment. So we're going to just end up with 2d6.
Okay. What's the goal here?
The goal is to get a 5 or a 6 for a success.
On one of them.
On one of the dice, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 6. I got a 6.
Hey, there you go.
One 6.
All right. So describe to me how you defend yourself from this creature.
Okay. So I've got the bat, like, you know, I've got it gripped in both hands. So I step into this, like, to use their imagination, like a heavy duty slugger in baseball kind of steps into the swing. So I step into it and just, like, swing this bat, and I'm going for the head.
You go for the head, and forgive me for getting a little gory here, but I think you, like,
that's fine.
Mash it in. there's blood and brains, and it's gross. And it topples to the ground, and you stand there, I think, breathing hard, but then it starts to twitch.
Oh, fuck.
And it slowly claws its way back to its feet. Its head is, like, basically barely hanging onto its shoulders. It's twisted wrong. Its neck is most likely fucked and broken, but it's still hanging on, and it's fixing these clouded, rotting eyes on you. And it says, "You killed me."
All right, time to go. I run out of my home. I do have the baseball bat, and my car is, well, it doesn't work very well, but it will run. So I up in the car, and I start it, and I drive away, but I'm not totally sure where I'm going. Just not here.
And so that is where we're going to cut back to the possum van. You all have been driving, and as you're driving to the junkyard, you specifically, I think the more observant ones of you that are not currently smoking weed in the back of the van.
I know there.
Yeah, so Percy.
Yeah, Percy.
So really, Percy, you're noticing that it's like, at least according to your watch, it's, you know, probably like 7 o'clock at night. It shouldn't be dark yet. The sun is sinking very fast. Faster than I think you've ever seen it. Like, you're watching it in real time just go down, and you see the stars come out, and a rat has to flick his headlights on.
Headlight,
right.
I'm going to very calmly pull my head back into the car and look at the group and say, "Now, I don't want to impugn your motives or anything. I'm sure it was a simple mistake, but I think there might have been some marijuana in that cigarette." Because the sun's not supposed to be going down like that. I think I'm tripping.
Speak up, Percy.
Percy, I don't think that's how weed works, man.
How do you know, man? You're just a kid. You don't know.
As Rat looks over and stares directly into the sun, does he see it going down at the same rate?
Yeah, you do. It is going down very quickly. And as it gets dark, you actually see the stars come out, but then you start to see the sun creeping back up into the horizon, and you see dawn arriving as you are nearing the junkyard.
What? Oh, dude, it's tomorrow.
Incarnation is happening.
Wow. And a Skid looks at the doogie y'all was smoking in awe, like, "Wow, that's some good European shit."
Gilda, where'd you get this?
Straight from the Eiffel Tower.
Whoa.
How close are we to the, because as I recall, we were like, there was like a community like rendezvous point where like the search committee was meeting.
Yes.
Are we getting close to that?
I believe at the fast lane. So I think the fast lane is on the way to the junkyard. So you are nearing the fast lane because you don't have a real town hall or a town hall that anyone cares about.
No, I don't think we have a real town hall at all.
No, neither. And so as you're nearing the fast lane, Rat, you're driving pretty fast. You see a figure appear in the road ahead of you. What do you do?
Is this like a humanoid figure?
Yes. In fact, it's one that you've seen in your headlights before.
I think Grant just yells out, "Oh shit," and swerves out of the way. Like, hard left turn.
Yeah, you hard left turn, and you actually feel the possum van was not meant to take such hard left turns. The possum van.
Oh no!
Flips.
Oh no! Oh no!
Yeah, that sounds about right.
The possum van flips and rolls, and you all are just, it's a moment of absolute chaos, and y'all are running into each other, and then it stops, and you, with this horrible screeching of metal, it stops, and you look, and I think Percy, you are the one that's in the shot. You're in shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
Miraculously, you're not terribly hurt. You hit your head, but not too hard, thankfully. Because inexplicably, maybe it was because you had 3 points of contact, or maybe was that Duncan? Maybe both of you did. But yeah, unfortunately, as was established earlier, this van doesn't have seatbelts. And you see that Rat has gone partially through the windshield.
Okay.
And then you see, though, Percy, as you are sort of coming to, the ringing in your ears is beginning to fade a bit. You see that figure that was in the road, and you see it was Lewis.
Lewis, what? Neighbor, what are you doing out in the road? Look at Rat. And like, looking at Rat, I'm like, is there any way to like salvage this situation?
Like Rat,
check Rat's pulse.
Yeah. You can feel that Rat is alive, but his pulse is weak and he's bleeding a lot. There's a lot of blunt force trauma that happens when you go through a windshield.
Yeah.
Is Rat like fully through the, like out in the street?
Not quite. He's halfway through.
Ugh.
Are we conscious in the back?
I think that you are. You're coming to.
Skid
goes,
sorry.
Oh, my head. What?
Holy shit, Rat.
And Andy, you are somewhat conscious. So if you want to say words as Rat, you can. But you are dying. And Lewis is there. And Lewis is just saying over and over, you hit me. You hit me. And you never said, you only said, you take it to your grave. And he keeps saying that over and over. And as you look over at Lewis, Lewis starts to look wrong. Lewis, from what you remember, had these crutches that he used to get around because he'd been hit in a car accident. But now he has too many legs and too many arms.
He's going to need more crutches.
He looks like some sort of almost insect or spider-like version of a human, but he's still speaking with Lewis Lane's voice.
Jeez, Beats! Lewis, what's wrong with you, neighbor?
I like to try to get Rat out of the window and tear some bits of the flannel off to try to like tourniquet stop the bleeding.
Yeah. I'd say we can start this with a D6, but one thing I will say is you can add dice to your pool with teamwork, or I can offer a complication to keep in my back pocket.
I think I'd be helping.
And if Gilda and Skid are up.
Yeah, I've just been standing there watching.
You can kind of get a lot of hands on Rat to try to extract him from the windshield without causing further damage.
Yeah, so let's make that a 3d6 pool. I think that's 3D. Enough. That's enough hands. Everybody's trying to help you get him out as gently as possible. So go ahead and roll 3d6.
Okay. I have 1 5.
That is a success. So tell me what you do with him once you get him out of the windshield.
Yeah, I think we pull him out essentially the rest of the way out the windshield to avoid further damage and get him on a clear spot that's flat. And then Duncan just tries to find the spots that are bleeding and is like, he's got his flannel. And so he's like taking the sleeves and tears the sleeves off and up into kind of strips. And is wants to use that to try to dress the wounds, tie a tourniquet, stop the bleeding, because an artery has probably been nicked and this is going to go fast.
I think that there's, it doesn't seem, as far as you can tell, there's blood, but there's no artery bleeding necessarily. Like, everything that you see is fairly superficial, but you can tell, and from what you know about car accidents like this, there's probably a lot of internal bleeding. And if you were to look, like, you know, at parts of his head and his an under his shirt and whatnot, you would see like hematomas forming where, you know, blood is pooling inside, and he's fading quite a bit here.
I think Rhett is going to look at Duncan and he says, "Tell little dude I'm sorry, and make sure that you stop the gorillas."
Oh, Rat, come on, Rat, stay with us, bud.
You have to face the gorillas. We need you.
I've always been afraid of monkeys.
Technically, they're apes.
Rat doesn't know that.
And I think Rat just closes his eyes.
I'm sorry I didn't play your band more often outside of the hours of 2 to 4 in the morning.
Oh my god.
Rat's eyes flutter open and he says, "Maybe give him a better time slot from now on."
You got it.
And then Rat closes his eyes again.
It's like 10 in the morning, okay, bud?
Oh my god.
Rat's eyes flutter open again and he says, "Make it 9 so that they can catch people on the morning drive to work." And then Rat's eyes close again.
Rat, you'll be famous now. The legacy of your band and this tragic moment will propel you into superstardom.
I think Rat just gives like a thumbs up.
I think, is there like a sharp piece of broken car that I can wrench free? Because like, I think Percy has given up on saving Rat, or at least... Yeah. At least Rat is in Duncan and Gilda's capable hands, but this thing is not Lewis. This thing is not our friendly neighbor.
Yeah. I think there's some like glass that you could use. So you could maybe like you could rip off some of your shirts so you don't like cut yourself on the glass.
I'm just gonna grab a piece of glass and be like, You're not Lewis. You're not our good friendly pal.
That's like actually the noise it makes.
Horrifying.
What is that?
I don't know. I think we should run away.
Gilda looks at it and goes, "No, this is why we got high," and looks around for an additional piece of glass.
Wait. You were getting high back there intentionally?
Priorities, Percy. Priorities.
This is a nice town. We got dope fiends. We got screaming zombies. Dead punk teens. What's happening to our town? We're never going to win a small town.
So the Lewis, or not Lewis, with dozens of legs starts to skitter towards you.
Towards all of us, or towards one of us specifically?
Towards the van, let's say.
Okay.
And it's still making that awful noise.
Can I also pick up a piece of car?
I mean, you could also pick up glass, but kids at home, please don't pick up glass.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I assume that if I, well, okay, I have an idea.
I will leave it up to Andy to say, like, what kind of junk is laying around in this car that people could maybe use as a weapon? Question mark.
There is decidedly like a baseball bat and like a golf club. There's probably like a badminton set and then just like a pool noodle. Completely random, like incoherent shit.
All right, so we got a baseball bat, a golf club, a pool noodle, a badminton racket. Take your pick.
There's apparently a flashlight in there somewhere.
See your golf equipment and raise you a bong? Is there a bong in this car?
There's for sure a bong.
Okay.
Yeah. Perfect.
I'm going to take the bong and slam it against the side of the car to try to like crack the to make it sharper, essentially.
I'm not going to make you roll for that or anything, cuz that's okay. That's something you can do with your physical human body. Yeah, you smash it against the car and make it into a jagged weapon, I suppose.
Like a beer bottle smashing, you know?
Yeah,
like
yeah, exactly. Mean? And yeah. Now you have a jagged end of a bong to wield, if you so.
I would like to turn to Percy, who I assume is freaking out at this moment. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, okay. 100%. Percy's having a meltdown.
I turn to Percy. I look down at my hand. I cut my hand open. I put a little bit of my blood on my forehead. And then I look to Percy and I go, "You really should have taken a hit of that European cigarette. Regardless, it's time, Percy. That part of your soul that's in there, that's fighting for this town, you're going to need to let loose."
Oh my fucking God.
And then I do like a battle cry towards the thing.
What does Percy do?
We're still in like town, right? The fast lane is sort of like on the edge of town.
Yeah.
I guess
yeah,
where are we situated more broadly?
Yeah, I'd say like you're basically almost right in front of the fast lane. And you can like see it around the corner. Essentially, you're kind of driving past most of the town proper. But you can see it. It's there. Hopefully that helps. I should have maybe drawn like an actual map for this town. That might have been good. But
how close am I to the general store?
I'd say if you sprinted, you could make it there in like a minute. You can see it. It's in your line of sight. There we go.
I am going to, I look at Gilda, who's just smeared blood on her face and like this monstrosity that's bearing down on us, and Percy just turns and runs towards the general store.
You run towards the general store, and as you're running past, you're seeing very, very bizarre things. You see people wearing clothes that you've only seen in history books, but you've also seen people talking on these devices up at their ears, like the cell phones that are just starting to come out, but they're so much smaller. And you see these cars, like these models that look sleeker and different from anything you've seen before. But you make it to your general store and you find what you're looking for because it's your store. You know. Excellent. Where the stuff is.
Because yeah. I know at the general store, we've got at least, this is a logging town. We've got at least 10 chainsaws. So I grab, two, cause that's all Percy can carry. And I start running back out towards the group.
Oh my God. Yeah, you do this still running past all this like bizarre shit. You know, you can actually call it into question Percy's ability to one-handed chainsaw.
Didn't actually mean to. I was just making jokes in chat.
I know, but I think this is very funny because I want to bring up the fact that I think that, yeah, Percy at this point is just running on pure adrenaline.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I mean, if you need me to roll for my two chainsaws, to be clear, I'm not wielding both of them. I'm just like carrying them out so that someone else can have one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not going.
Yeah. I think you pull it out. And as you're handing a chainsaw to folks, you see the headlights of Marla's car. And Marla, you're driving away from this creature that attacked you in your home. And then you come upon this scene not too far from the fast lane where you see Percy wielding two chainsaws. You see the possum van flipped over and you see this creature that looks kind of like Lane with way too many legs barreling towards the others.
Can I hit it with my car?
certainly.
So I think this whole time Duncan and Skid were probably kind of ducking behind the van, and Duncan's pulled out his little tape recorder and starts narrating everything.
Skid's like, what are you're actually going to record this right now?
People gotta know. Like, this I've never heard of anything like this happening before.
I think that's a little presumptuous.
That I haven't heard of anything like this before? I don't
know
think
that
I have.
You think you're gonna live through this, boy.
The and, tape will, maybe.
He shrugs. And so Marla, you said you wanted to hit this thing with your car.
I would like to drive my car into this thing. Yes.
Yeah. So I'll have you roll for that. This would be a skilled roll, I think. So we'll start with 2d6.
Okay.
And we can add another d6 for teamwork, preparation, or if I hold on to a complication, but that's up to you.
Is there any way that I could... I don't think there's a way for me to do this with teamwork, because I'm just in the car by myself.
Yeah.
Maybe Gilda is distracting it with her war cry?
That is true.
I mean, I did do something real weird towards it.
You did.
You did.
You really did. You smeared blood on yourself and screamed. So,
yeah.
This Eldritch Monster goes, oh, whoa, hold on.
I didn't sign up for this. This is...
And also, Percy ran up with two chainsaws.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Okay. I think we can say there's some teamwork there.
I'll give you 3d6 then.
3d6, and I just have to get a 5 or 6 on one of them. All right. Well, I have 1 5.
Hey.
Sorry. That is the success. So describe to me how you mow this thing over.
I think I'm operating on instinct. I'm running on a lot of adrenaline because I just maybe killed a zombie. It's not a zombie because it talked to me, but I'm running out. So I think it's kind of an instinct thing. It's like, I see this thing. I register that it's not what it's supposed to be. And I just steer my car straight into it. And what I'm hoping is, if you'll allow me, is that this thing goes just like flipping up over the top of the car. Like, I hit it and it just goes up over the top. Unless you want me to squish it like a bug, which I could also do, because it is kind of like a bug.
Yeah. I mean, if that's what you want to do, you succeeded. So I'd say, yeah, that's what you do. You hit Lewis head on and he just goes rolling over the top of your car, flying back. And you see a lot of his legs are broken at different angles, and he's not moving. What do you all do?
I keep recording my thing. Now it appears that Marla has arrived on the scene with her car and smashed it directly into Lewis Lane.
Did we just kill a man?
I get out of the car and I go, what? What the fuck was that? What the fuck did I just hit with my car?
It wasn't human.
It was Lewis. Oh, but then it wasn't Lewis. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Calmly walk up to Marla. Marla, remember our horror movie nights? The, like, few times that you're willing to interact and engage with humans.
I look at you and I go, I thought we agreed to never speak of that in public. But yes, I do recall.
We're living out our own horror movie here. And it looks like you and I are the only ones who know how that game is played.
Wait, oh, no. Is that Rat?
It's all bad.
Yeah, you see Rat. I think that Skid has like pulled his body from the van and out onto the ground. And as you're looking at him, you see, yeah, he has breathed his last breath. Rat Fuke is dead.
I mean, you do know that this means that this music is going to go way up in popularity. Well,
Duncan ejects the cassette out of the van and pockets it.
I say that, but let's be honest, that music was really not what I call good. You know what? Nope, I'm not going to say that because he's dead right there. Rat, your music fucking ruled. And I take out my lighter and I flick it open and I just wave it gently over him in tribute to Rat.
I'm going to walk over to Rat, still holding one of the chainsaws, and look down and say, Rathew, Rat, as you like to be called, I thought you were a blight on this town, but it turns out you were just sort of okay. We will remember you, Rathew, when we win the small town. We'll have a plaque made for you.
I was going to say, yeah, a little plaque, like that would add some real character to the town.
Wouldn't it, Marla? Wouldn't it?
We got to survive this first.
As you're giving this touching tribute to Rat, you're standing over his body, and Rat's body starts melt as if it were made of butter.
Oh. It's
melting into a puddle that's still sort of recognizably Rat, but unconstituted. And then you see it begin to seep into the ground.
Percy turns and vomits.
As you're vomiting, I pull you away from it. I'm like, horror movie rules. If something could be a contaminant, it will be.
And as it melts and it starts to seep into the ground, you can hear Rat's tortured screams. And then they grow quieter and quieter until you can't hear him anymore.
Maybe hold off on the commemorative plaque for a little bit.
Where's the second chainsaw?
I think I would have tried to give it to Duncan. Well, but if Duncan is recording, I think I might hand it to Skid.
Yes.
You are out in the forest, right, Skid? You know how to work one of these, eh, neighbor? Yeah?
No. I live off the land, man. I don't work with modern technology.
Does anybody know how to use a chainsaw?
He's an axe man.
Exactly. See, I got my axes here, and he pulls out an axe.
You've got these the whole time?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I don't like to wave them around. You know, it makes people nervous.
Yeah, but there's a bug, like a bug person.
Well, I don't know. I panicked, okay?
Whoever wants to have the chainsaw can have it. Reed,
yes.
Do I still see any of those people with the like fancy, like super small, weird cell phones? The like super shrunken down ones?
Yeah, you do.
Or even just like a big blocky one, like any kind of cell. Can I go run and like grab one of these phones? Like, we got to get help. I want to go run and grab a phone and call 911.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah. I think there's a person walking by you who is walking past this crash as if there's nothing there. They don't even give it a second look. And they're holding one of those small, compact cellular devices in their hand.
Cellular?
Well, you assume, because there are cell phones do exist in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
They're
okay.
Bricks. Yeah. They're like literally bricks. So not a lot of people have them, but they do exist.
Yeah, I'm going to run up and just be like shouting, hey, neighbor, I need to borrow your cellular device. Sorry, just let me take that real quick. And I'm going to like just try to grab it.
Oh, sure, man. And the person.
Thanks so much. It's an emergency. Seek shelter.
Oh, okay. And they just keep walking and they actually hold their hand up to their ear and keep talking as if they had the cell phone there still.
Hmm. Oh.
Why do I have the phone?
You do have the phone, yes.
Oh.
Huh.
Well, oakley dokley.
I push
there it is. On old Ned Flanders.
There it is.
Yeah, I'm gonna punch 911 into the phone and I'm gonna try to call 911.
You do get 911. 911, what's your emergency?
Oh, hey there. This is Percy Potlatch, deputy mayor over in Splinters, runner up, best small town, 2 years running. We have an emergency over here. We've got a situation. We've got some strange assailants. We've got some roving through town, and we very much need the assistance of
for these sort of inquiries, I would recommend that you call Fish and Wildlife.
No, bad. They're people with weapons, and we need some help.
Oh, okay. Can you hold, please?
Nope. I'm sorry to insist, but I cannot hold. I'm very sorry. Sorry to inconvenience you, but I need assistance right now, please.
The line goes dead.
There's a loud, like, as Duncan tries to start one of the chainsaws successfully.
And the line goes dead on you, Percy.
I definitely call 911 again. We don't have to play it out if this is not going to happen, but Percy, in fiction, is calling 911 again.
Yeah, and I think you continue to get the same conversation. And actually, it's the exact same conversation. Verbatim. Over and over.
Do we hear this?
I mean, I think that, you know, Percy's probably very frustrated trying to call on this strange phone. So you can probably overhear some of it. Yeah.
I think as I hear him desperately having the same conversation over and over again, I think I go up to one of these people and I just push them to see what happens. One of these weird techno people.
Yeah, one of the people, you push over this woman and she like sort of reacts and is like, what's wrong with you? And then she sort of dusts herself off and then she just keeps running it, or walking in the exact same direction that she was before.
If we're near the fast lanes, can we get a radio and listen to check the radio? I'm curious to check. There's two weird things on the radio. This started happening. So I'm wondering if there's any more.
Yeah.
Information that could come across the radio waves.
We could also try to radio the search team.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You can certainly do that. And so the fast lane is right there. It's a short walk. All of you walk inside. Weirdly, though, the fast lane looks like it's been stripped of everything. It's blank completely, like it's like in The Sims when you just like are first building the house, you just build the walls and everything's gray. There's nothing in there yet. Like, it looks like it's under construction.
No, the town hall renovation wasn't supposed to start for another 6 months.
I love how you call the fast lane your town hall.
Are the lanes gone as well?
Yeah, the lanes are gone.
Huh.
But there is a radio inexplicably in the center of the room.
Perfecto. If you dream it will be there. I don't know. I'm working under stress. I start dialing and scanning the frequencies of the radio. Just trying to pick up either familiar stations or try to find that signal that we isolated back at the at the booth.
Yeah, if you want to find the signal that you found at the booth or recreate what you did at the booth, I would have that be a skilled roll. So 2d6.
2d6.
And see if you succeed.
Da-da-da-da-da. No way. Two twos. I die. I yell at the radio.
What do you want?
No, so what happens is that you turn the radio on, you're trying to fiddle with it to get to the station that you found before where you heard Geo's voice. Instead, you're just tuning back into that very bad Plato joke that you heard, the stand-up from before.
And Pus Fungus comes on. I shed a small tear.
Yeah, and Pus Fungus does actually come on. The Plato says, "What can I say? It was dark in the cave." And then Pus Fungus starts to play at like top volume. It's track 17, the best one.
Yeah, it's just always my favorite. Caves, something in the cave is central, gang. Town's all upside down, fuckaroo. So you might still have to go to the cave. I don't know.
I still think it's worth trying to rendezvous with the search party and just getting some help.
We're at town hall. Is this
all right? This is where everyone was supposed to be.
I gesture to the giant empty space.
I think I pat
bratwurst.
I like
bratwurst.
I walk up and pat both. Duncan and Percy on the shoulder. Definitely get a little blood on them. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not.
I think everyone in the car probably has a little bit of blood on them.
Well, yeah, that's true. Actually, yeah, it doesn't matter at this point. And I just like as I'm doing that, I'm like, well, looks like we got ourselves a crossing streams universe zombie, maybe devil situation. We've got a lot of genres mixing here. I'm going to go ahead and assume that these rinky-dinky techno weirdos are the future, which, whew, glad I'm not there.
There was a pioneer lady in my home.
Oh,
earlier this evening.
Time is a loop.
We're getting all sorts of cross streams, huh?
She was churning butter.
Is Can't that believe no one would participate in the search party.
Well, hold on, Percy. I think what we're saying is that our different town timelines are interchanging. I don't know if our folks are here, like, metaphysically right now.
Seems to me like we are the search party right now, and everything is centered around that cave.
So in a way, Percy, nobody bailed on the search party. They're just potentially dead / trapped in some other space.
If you liked what you heard, the best way to let us know is on Twitter at TTRPGRoulette.
Or leaving us a review on your podcatcher of choice.
If you do leave us a review, let us know so we can give you a shout out in a future episode.
You can also support us financially on Patreon at patreon.com/TTRPGRoulette.
There, you can get access to bonus content such as character creation episodes, blooper reels, an art gallery, and much more.
Our music was created by Neil Martin, who you can find on Twitter at BardicMartin.
Our logo was created by Lee, who you can find on Twitter at The Law of Names or on his Masks AP Otherwear.
We want to give a very special shout out to our patrons, including Landon Cornell, MC of Shadows of St. Fleur, Reed, Dusty, Silva, Vanessa Haas, Zeke, Gnome, and Daniel.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Monster Hour, an actual play podcast about going to school, arguing with your parents, and ruining your favorite outfit while hunting horrible monsters. Narrative-driven and crisply edited with painfully relatable characters, Monster Hour follows unlikely heroes JR.
Super suspicious. That's sort of my deal.
Constance.
I may be a bit of a know-it-all, but I might actually know it all.
And Alvin.
I'm monstrous.
As they unravel the sinister mysteries of a strange Colorado town. If you're a fan of Stranger Things, Buffy, or the Adventure Zone Amnesty, you'll love Monster Hour. Tune in for new episodes every other Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.